3 days after a new storefront sign went up, customers started walking in and asking for roadside assistance. The business did not tow cars. It sold handmade gifts. The sign was polished, expensive, and impossible to ignore. It had simply told the wrong story.
Wait, people thought it was a tow kudoe?
Exactly. The designer saw a clever sweeping shape. Customers saw a road, a service vehicle, and a promise that had nothing to do with candles, ceramics, or handmade gifts. That is the gap we are exploring today, the distance between what a creator intends and what an audience can reasonably see in a few seconds.
And a few seconds is generous when the design is on the sign. Sometimes the audience gets 1 second from a passing car or half a second while scrolling.
Right. So today we are going to stress test visual communication before it goes live. I call the method the misread map. It helps us find likely misunderstandings, test them in realistic conditions, and decide which ones deserve a revision.
Without sanding all the personality off the work.
Yes. We are not trying to make every visual instantly obvious, safe, and forgettable. We are asking whether the important meaning is findable, whether the wrong meaning could create a business problem, and whether a focused change would improve the result. Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors, to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling, here with my co-host, Wendy.
And I'm glad you're here, because this is one of those problems designers often discover after the launch, when the audience has already formed an opinion.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of crafting logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper.
From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. So grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing.
Stick around. Your imagination is about to get an upgrade. By the end of this episode, you will have 3 practical passes for reviewing a visual, a way to separate personal taste from communication risk, and a simple worksheet you can use on a design you are working on right now.
Let us begin with the distinction that changes the whole review conversation. Every visual has at least 3 layers. There is the message you want people to understand, there is the evidence they can actually see, and there is the assumption they build between those 2 things.
The assumption is the invisible part, right? The audience sees a shape or phrase and fills in the story.
Exactly. Imagine a neighborhood bakery. The intended message is, we are welcoming, local, and good for everyday treats. The evidence might be warm colors, hand lettering, a bread illustration, and a friendly name. From that, people may assume the shop is casual, familiar, and affordable.
But the same bakery may also want high-end celebration cakes.
Right. If every visible clue says quick breakfast stop, the custom cake service may disappear from the audience's first story. Nobody has to dislike the design. They may simply decide the business does not offer what they need.
And the medium changes the risk. On a website, someone can explore. On a sign, the audience is moving, distracted, and comparing you with every other message nearby. A detail that looks elegant at 12 inches can vanish at 12 feet.
That is why misreading is not only about symbolism. It can be a scale problem, a contrast problem, a reading order problem, or a context problem. Let us make this tangible with a fictional identity for North Star Mobile Detail.
The owner wants dependable premium vehicle care that comes to the customer. The first concept has a sharp star, a sweeping road line, dark metallic blue, and the name North Star. The owner explains that the star means reliability, the road means mobility, and the blue means trust.
I can already see where this is going.
Say it. Towing navigation may be a dealership.
That was fast, and that speed matters. The owner may have a beautiful explanation, but the audience has only the evidence. Star, road, vehicle-related color, and the word North Star. If the phrase mobile detailing is tiny underneath, it may not get a chance to correct the first impression.
So what would you actually write down in the review? Not a vague comment like it feels a little automotive.
I would write visible clue, sweeping road line. Likely misread, roadside assistance. Business impact, wrong leads and a weaker premium expectation. Corrective move, enlarge mobile detailing, simplify the road line, and test whether a clean surface cue can replace the emergency service feeling.
I would add one production note. If the clean surface cue is a tiny sparkle, it may disappear on the van. The correction has to survive the largest and smallest use cases.
Good catch. That is the difference between revising a concept in theory and revising a working identity. A change can solve the meaning problem on a presentation board and create a visibility problem on the vehicle.
But I want to protect the designer from one trap. If we chase every possible reaction, we could design nothing.
I agree with the trap. I am not sure I agree with the conclusion that testing creates endless revision. The map is a filter, not a courtroom. One person seeing a lighthouse in the star is not automatically a problem. Several likely customers seeing a tow company in a mobile detailing brand is a problem because the interpretation can change behavior.
So we are not asking, can anyone imagine something else? We are asking, what is a reasonable misunderstanding in the situation where this design will live?
Exactly. And sometimes the unusual interpretation is useful. A clever book cover may make someone wonder whether the story is a mystery or a comedy. That ambiguity can create curiosity, which is part of the strategy. We do not correct it just because it is not a single literal description. We correct it when the uncertainty blocks the intended action or creates the wrong expectation.
That distinction is important. Ambiguity can be an invitation, but confusion can be a locked door.
Let us try a quick imagination exercise. Bring a visual to mind, but temporarily forget who made it and what they intended. It could be a logo, a package, a poster, or a sign. Describe only what is visible. What do you notice first? What feels largest or loudest? What kind of product, service, or promise would you expect?
Give yourself a few seconds before explaining anything. Notice how quickly your mind makes a prediction. That speed is not a failure of attention. It is the basic mechanism of visual communication.
And if you do this with a team, show the design before giving the backstory. That is uncomfortable. The creator wants to provide the guided tour first.
Yes. Explanation can change the reaction you are trying to observe. Start with three questions. What did you notice? What did you think it was? What did you expect to happen next?
That last question is especially useful for signs. If I see an arrow, I expect direction. If I see a button shape, I expect an action. If one word is much larger than the rest, I assume it is the main offer.
Right. We are testing not just what people identify, but what the design makes them prepare to do. That is the first pass. The first glance.
Could the first glance be done with a very short exposure? Something like a quick reveal instead of letting people study the design.
Absolutely. Show it for 3 seconds or place it in a realistic feed and do not announce that a test is happening. Then capture the first words. Do not ask whether they like it yet. Liking is a different question.
That is a relief. Do you like it? Can turn into a debate about blue very quickly.
Exactly. The second pass is the audience perspective. Test with the knowledge, worries, and vocabulary your audience actually brings. A designer may recognize a subtle reference to restoration. A new customer may see an old-fashioned ornament. A marketing team may understand an industry abbreviation. A customer may read it as a product code.
I like adding the question, what would this person be worried about right now? A parent choosing childcare may be scanning for safety and warmth. Someone choosing a financial service may be scanning for clarity and competence. Someone buying a birthday cake may be wondering whether the order will be accurate and on time.
That question turns a design review from personal taste into usefulness. The same visual can feel playful to a designer and careless to a customer who is worried about reliability. We do not need to predict every emotion. We do need to notice when the design is answering a different question than the customer is asking.
And the audience perspective can include the person who never stops to look. In a print shop, I often see teams review a sign while standing directly in front of it. That is the least realistic position. Put it outside, move back, add glare, let the background compete.
That leads to the third pass, real-world context. Shrink the logo, put the illustration into the social feed, read the sign from the parking lot, view the design on an ordinary phone, not just on a large, bright monitor. Remove the explanation and see whether the important evidence survives.
Print it if it is going to be printed. Export it at the size and ad platform we'll use. For a vehicle, test the mark while it is moving past you, even if that means using a rough mock-up. The software gives the source file your full attention. The public will not.
Can we walk through the North Star identity using all three passes instead of describing them separately?
Let us do it. First glance, three people see a star, a road, and something automotive. Two say roadside assistance. One says navigation. The owner says, but the blue is meant to communicate trust. That explanation may be true, but it does not erase what the road line is doing.
Because it sounds like a tow company?
Because it sounds like a tow company, yes. The audience is not being careless. The evidence is pointing there. Now, the audience perspective, a busy vehicle owner wants to know whether the service comes to them, whether it is detailing rather than repair, and whether the price and quality match the premium promise.
And the context test adds another problem. On the side of a van, the tiny words mobile detailing disappear first. The star and road remain, which means the production condition amplifies the wrong clue.
So we rank it. Likelihood is high because the interpretation happens quickly and more than one reasonable viewer reaches it. Impact is medium to high because the wrong customer may call, ignore the service, or assume the business handles emergencies rather than premium care. Fixability is high because we can change hierarchy and simplify the road shape without abandoning the North Star idea.
That is much more useful than saying, the logo feels off.
Exactly. The next version might enlarge mobile detailing, reduce the emergency service sweep, and introduce a stronger cue for care, such as a clean reflective surface or a controlled water shape. Then we test again at the size and distance where the customer will actually encounter it.
I would test it in one color too. If the identity only works because of metallic effects, it has not solved the communication problem. A one-color version exposes whether the silhouette and hierarchy are doing the work.
That is a powerful constraint. Effects can support meaning, but they should not be the only thing carrying it.
Let us move to an illustration, because the risk is different there.
Imagine a promotional illustration for a creative workshop. The intended message is, join a friendly, hands-on session and turn an idea into a finished concept. The artwork shows a person surrounded by floating tools, notes, arrows, color swatches, and fragments of sketches. It is lively. It is memorable. It may also whisper, you need to already know what you are doing.
That is close to my world. Designers add energy because we want the workshop to feel exciting. Then we accidentally illustrate the inside of an experienced designer's brain instead of the experience a beginner is being promised.
What would you change first?
I would show one transformation, a simple sketch becoming a clearer idea. Keep a few tools, but remove the visual clutter that makes the process look like a storm. Then make the participant's posture relaxed, not trapped in a cloud of decisions.
A doorway instead of a tornado of sticky notes.
Exactly. That may become the title of my next workshop slide.
The important point is that we are not removing imagination. We are giving the audience a way into it. The evidence should say, you can begin here, not look how much expertise you need before you enter.
And if that illustration becomes a small social ad, the tiny details become texture. The one clear transformation and the readable invitation may survive. The 27 clever objects will not.
This is where the three-pass map protects us from over-revising. We record the reaction, identify the clue, connect it to the business consequence, and choose one corrective move. We do not redesign the entire illustration because one person prefers a different shade of orange.
How do you decide whether a reaction is preference or risk when the feedback is emotional?
Translate the emotion into behavior. I do not like this blue is preference, unless the blue makes the service look cold in a context where warmth is essential. This feels intimidating, becomes a risk, if beginners now expect the workshop is advanced and decide not to register. The feeling is a clue. The possible behavior tells us how seriously to take it.
I use the same test with signs and printed offers. What happens if the misread is true? Does it create a mildly different impression? Or does it produce wrong phone calls, missed orders, poor quality leads, or lost trust?
That gives us three ranking questions. How likely is the misread? How much could it affect trust, understanding, access, or action? And how easy is it to fix without damaging the core idea? High likelihood, high impact, easy fix comes first.
Low likelihood, low impact, difficult fix goes in the margin.
Exactly. That margin is important. It lets us preserve strong, memorable work instead of treating every unusual interpretation as damage.
Can we do a storefront example where the problem is not the symbol, but the reading order?
Sure. Picture a sign for a neighborhood clinic. The clinic name is large, the word urgent is in a bright accent, and the actual service description is small beneath it. From across the street, people may read urgent first and assume emergency care. The design is not necessarily ugly. It is just telling the eye to make a different decision.
Before the reader knows what the place actually is.
Right. The corrective move may be changing scale and order, not adding another icon. Make the service category readable first, then use the accent color to support the call to action.
That example shows why visual hierarchy is evidence. Large, bright, high contrast elements are not merely decoration. They tell people what deserves attention and what kind of action is expected.
And the physical test is simple. Take a photo from the approach path. Look at it on your phone. Blur your eyes slightly. What remains? If the wrong word is the strongest shape, fix that before polishing the border.
That is our rule for today. Revise evidence before adding decoration. If people misunderstand the offer, another flourish will rarely rescue it. Clarify the hierarchy. Strengthen the relevant cue. Remove the competing cue. Adjust the words, shape, contrast, or context. Then test again.
I want to ask about AI-assisted concepts. The tools can generate something visually rich in seconds, and richness can make the review harder.
It can. Speed multiplies possibilities, including irrelevant possibilities. Whether you are sketching by hand, working in a design application, or exploring an AI-assisted direction, ask what evidence is asking the audience to believe this. Then ask whether that belief supports the business goal.
I would add one production question. Can the important evidence be reproduced consistently? AI concepts and polished mock-ups sometimes hide details that are difficult to print, cut, embroider, or read at distance.
Good. Meaning and manufacturability meet in the same review. A design that communicates perfectly on screen but fails on the sign, package, or shirt is still miscommunicating in the world that matters.
Let us give listeners a 5-minute version they can use today.
Choose one visual. Not the entire campaign. Put it where it will actually appear, or as close as you can get. If it is a social graphic, view it in a crowded feed. If it is a sign, step away from it. If it is a package, hold it at the distance a shopper would use.
For the first pass, look for 3 seconds. Write the first thing you noticed. Then write what you thought the business, product, or invitation was. Finally, write what you expected to do next. Do not defend the design while you are recording.
capture the reaction before the explanation arrives.
If someone else is available, ask them to do the same thing without giving them the backstory. Record their exact words, not because every sentence is a verdict, but because repeated language can reveal a pattern.
Then write one's strongest unintended interpretation. For North Star, it might be, "This looks like roadside assistance." For the workshop illustration, it might be, "This is probably for advanced designers." For the clinic sign, it might be, "This is an emergency service." Keep it specific enough that you can identify the clue causing it.
Next comes impact. Would the person hesitate, click the wrong thing, call for the wrong service, assume the price is different, or move on? Those are observable consequences. They give the team something better to solve than a general feeling.
Finally, choose one corrective move. Change the hierarchy. Strengthen a relevant cue. Remove a competing cue. Clarify a phrase. Simplify a shape. Adjust contrast. Change the context. Then run the same test again and compare the reaction.
That comparison matters. Otherwise, the team may make three changes at once and never know which one helped.
Yes, a focused revision teaches you something. If the first version says tow company and the second version says mobile detailing, you have evidence that the hierarchy improved. If the second version now looks generic, you have another creative question to solve. The map is not a pass-fail exam. It is a decision trail.
And for a real production test, make a rough physical version before spending money on the final run. A quick print, a paper mock-up, or a temporary van panel can expose problems early.
Here is the short recap. First, separate intention from evidence. Your backstory is not visible to the audience, so test what the design actually gives them. Second, use the three passes: first glance, audience perspective, and real-world context. Third, rank the misread by likelihood, business impact, and fixability.
And remember the difference between taste and risk. A person preferring a different blue may simply have a different preference. A person missing the offer because decoration is louder than the call to action is showing you a communication risk.
Your design does not need to eliminate every possible interpretation. It needs to make the strategically important interpretation easy enough to find. Preserve curiosity when curiosity serves the strategy. Correct confusion when confusion blocks trust or action.
And if the review conversation starts with, "I just do not like it," ask for the visible clue and the expected behavior. That question can move the room from opinion to observation.
For a printable worksheet and additional templates, register at mgwdstudios.com/submit. You can record the visible clue, the likely misread, the business impact, the realistic context, and the corrective move. Then use it on one homepage hero, social graphic, flyer, label, vehicle, or storefront sign this week.
One real visual is enough to begin. You do not need a research department or an expensive testing platform. You need a realistic viewing condition and a few honest reactions.
Notice the strongest unintended story. Decide whether it matters. Make one focused revision, then test again. That small habit can reduce costly revisions, improve approvals, and help the right people understand what you offer before they move on.
I like that the map does not tell you to make the work literal. It tells you to make a conscious choice about what people are likely to believe.
That is the heart of it. A better question can lead to a better design, and a better design can give the audience a clearer path to trust and action. Next time, we'll look at how to turn scattered review comments into focused creative direction, so feedback becomes a decision trail instead of a pile of competing opinions.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, hit that subscribe button, drop a review, and share it with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost.
Until next time, keep designing,
keep dreaming and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook. Imagine boldly, design brilliantly, connect creatively.